Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Well, I'm Greg Lancaster. Joining me is Pat and John. We are pumped coming to you on the CTN network across the nation. My goodness, we want to give a big shout out to America. I want to give you hope, let you know that in the first Great Awakening, it was done on a horseback. In the second Great Awakening, it was done on a horseback. And we are going to do it on digital horseback because we tried to get John up on a horse, but it just wouldn't work. So we're going to try to put our hands up and get him up on the horse. Listen, there is hope. God looks for a man to stand in the gap. He looks for a man, a woman to stand in the gap, who so on behalf of the people, so he doesn't have to destroy the land. And look, he's found you. You know, listen, we're in tune. We're more than a man. We're men and women who believe God and that our God is greater than anything the enemy can do out there. But we got to wake up, you know, and that's why he tells us awake, sleeper, awake. Today on VFN Radio across the land, we are going to be, and you are seeing what we're going to be talking about today. As we continue our conversation about the government shutdown, we're on the 15th day of the government shutdown. We're like 24 hours away. 16th day, I mean, away from the, that's what that was. And we are like 24 hours away from what they're saying is a potential default. And what does that mean to us? That means in regards to our homes that they're going to put a sticker on the front door and say, the inhabitants will no longer be living here anymore. The reason why the moving truck is there right now, it ain't their place. And if 40% of every dollar spent that we demand from Washington and our representatives comes from another country, that means there's a high probability that if we don't humble ourselves, then we will be slave to the lender. I don't know. Isn't that what God says? He says the debtor's enslaved to the lender. And who would ever thunk that we would actually be in debt to those who... It's so crazy. Isn't it crazy? It's so crazy. It's like... I don't like your form of government. And I don't know what's else problem over there. But hey, can I borrow $5?
Exactly. You know,
we need some money for our democracy here. We don't want to.
Communism is bad.
Yeah.
And
you know, you guys, you're just. I can't believe the way you're treating your people. But can you make us some more shirts? If you make us some more shirts, then we can sell them in our democracy, and we can make more money. I mean, we are definitely the you know, corporate's very important over here in America and all that. I mean, it's crazy. And now, guess what? It's coming due. And today is the day that we're going to say, this is that moment when Samuel's speaking to the church, not to the world. And he's saying, choose God or choose a king. It's SOS, the tell of two kings. And you can actually hear this right now, possibly, on VFN TV. Go to VFNTV.com and click on VFN TV and just listen to it or watch it. But understand this, that this is SOS, Saul or Samuel. You can't have them both. And isn't it interesting, too, we're talking about Saul Alinsky and his 13 tactics, and here it is, SOS. Is it going to be Samuel or Saul? And even after God told him all the things he did for him, how he provided, how he's the one that brought him out of slavery, he's the one that did this, he did that, and you know he's the reason why they're breathing, he's the reason why their skin's being held together and every supporting ligament's holding together. He's God. And they go, okay, cool. Can we still, I appreciate you, Dad, for, you know, telling me, preaching me, you know, telling me. But anyway, can I still have what I want?
Yeah.
You know, can I still have a king? And they chose, Israel chose not to be up under God, to go up under a king. And they've been up under, up until just 1948, they were up under kings and tyranny and all this stuff up to that point. And if you haven't yet heard, you need to go to VFN Torch. And go to VFNTV.com and listen to America, how we got here and how we stay here, because we got here one nation under God because we got back what Israel lost when they went over to a king, and we declared our independence in 1776 from a king because we realized that we could do what Israel left, which is one nation under God. But in addition to that, we helped Israel understand that they can get back under God again and not be up under a king. And now they have the same form of government basically that we have. The only democracy in the Middle East over there, representative government. And now here we are. It's like, have we lost our usefulness? Are we going to throw this thing away?
Wow.
What was the president that said, my mother taught me at my knees and signed the papers?
Harry Truman.
Harry Truman said this. It was our president that signed one nation under God, the president that was elected. And I can't tell you what number of president he was, but it wasn't many because we only had, you know, 40 some odd, six, seven, whatever. And he said he signed the papers that declared Israel a nation. In other words, we participated in the process of bringing Israel. God used us in participation of the process of bringing Israel as one nation under God. And so they came back up under their dependency where they'll have to look up and not to a king. Mm-hmm. Now they're involved in the affairs of their day-to-day life. They're not under some tyrannical king. And so they have input. So also that means when they, all of them begin to look up, they change the direction of Israel, which means that's what we're supposed to be doing is looking up. And so it's called We the People, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice. I mean, that's what it's all about. And so we're seeing today, today is the day. This is like Elijah standing on Mount Moriah or not Mount Moriah, but anyway.
Carmel,
standing on top of Mount Carmel saying, okay, here we are. You know, if government's God, choose government. If God is God, and this is America because there's a unique word where God has risen up America. He's raised it up. And, you know, if government's God, choose government. And if God is God, choose God. In other words, SOS. It's the tale of two kings, Samuel or Saul. Here we are. This is the day. Mm-hmm. We heard a prophet stand up on the stage of America for almost 24 hours, possibly. One of our American citizens out of Texas who stood up, who understands the American concept better than most others because his father came from
Cuba,
and he's just saying, listen, let's don't lose this thing. This is, and he began to teach us again about our founding principles and all that. So we have it laid out there. We have it totally laid out there. And we could say, you know, you're right. You know, I don't know what happened. And at that point, we could choose God.
Yeah.
You know, choose today who you're going to serve. And my biggest concern, because of the things that we've been seeing, is the default setting at this point. Because of the organizing techniques that's been done in this nation for the last 100 years, and it's just increased, the Alinsky model has been increased in a rapid way, that it's been nudged so much, as Cass Sensing says, that they very well may say, we choose government. And everybody goes, oh, I'm just so glad. We almost came to utter ruin. We almost lost everything. And then all of a sudden, Elijah, after calling on fire from heaven, will run into the wilderness, and all the folks who chose government as God will go, I knew he was a false prophet. He had issues all along. He just didn't like Jezebel, Ahab. I don't know. You mix them together, right? You know? And you know, that's what they say. And God's going, I'm going to talk about you forever. I am so enamored with you, Elijah, that I'm not going to let you die like everybody. I'm going to swing down a chariot. The fact that you stood up for me in front of the entire world and you said, this is the decision. I want it to be clear. And you said, you laid it out there, even though you had to end up in a cave and you weren't ready to do it anymore. And you came back out and you began to, you know, be a spiritual father in the Lord. And you did pass on your mantle. But I'm going to take you to be with me. Remember, you're not even going to see death. I'm going to bring you back with Moses on the Mount of Transfiguration. I'm going to chat with you about the destiny of the nation and the world. You're, my goodness. You think about it. But don't worry about it. You're going to be the most unpopular person in the worldliness if you stand up for God. But in the kingdom of heaven, I mean, start singing, swing low, sweet chariot. I'm coming for to take you home, right?
Yeah.
And it's like, this is the day. But the thing about it, everybody's so caught up in the popularity type thing, and they think the crowd is the answer. And they're convinced that if so many people are gathered around Ahab and Jezebel, that must be right.
Mm-hmm.
Just take a moment. Take a moment and learn your vowels and consonants again. Begin to learn sentence structure again. And then put the sentences together and read paragraphs. And then read history. I mean, it's like repeating itself over and over and over again. And it's amazing. We're like alarm clocks going, wake up. They go like, I'm trying to wake up, but I don't know what to do. And after a while, you're like, God, give me grace, give me patience, because I might not want them to wake up. That was Jonah, right?
Yeah.
Jonah was like, I don't want Nineveh to wake up.
Yeah, right.
And the truth is, I want America to wake up. I mean, you know, countries come and countries go, but I want the church. I want the people. I mean, we had a sweet lady write to us, you know, from our CTN audience, you know, out there that was listening just yesterday. And you know, we're not able to give any kind of financial advice or anything like that, but I know, to tell you my story, you know, I was looking around and trying to think, you know, in all this chaos and all this confusion, when all this stuff's happening in government, where people are trying to use these guys in D.C. to take your money and put it in their pockets, and you're just kind of stuck. What do? Where do you invest? And you're seeing possible economic collapse. We're seeing God's showing us economic collapse. He's showing us a transformation. It's biblically there. And so what do you do? I mean, that is a big issue. What do you do? And I went away on a sabbatical to spend some time with God, trying to get hear clearly from him, because I couldn't hear him too well over the snoring. No, and the and so as I went to go spend time with him, he began to unfold the next season and what's taking place in the earth and what's happening. And I still was looking for a place, you know, because I said, you know, I was just beginning to follow the principles of Jews who understand how to put, you know, put this amount of money for your bills, this amount of money for savings, this amount of money for your tithe, your God, this amount of money for offerings, and this amount of percentage of money for investments. And then that's money you're willing to risk or lose or whatever. And even if it's 10 cents, it's something that you can just try. Mm-hmm. And so I did that for a period of time, but God would not release. He just would not where there's what invest in a fool,
right.
You know, invest in a falling nation,
right. Mm-hmm.
Invest in businesses that won't even connect to God and think that they can actually run their business without God. How, you know why? Because so 97% of Christians believe that they can run their lives without God because they rob from God.
That's right.
In the tithes and offerings. That's why the business structure is that way. And I thank God for the businesses who stand with VFN TV and Daily Radio Program, because they are bringing hope to you, and you'll watch their businesses are going to be so blessed because God's going to show himself mighty in the context of that. But in that, so I come back from sabbatical, was just basically, don't know the terminology, it means I was just spending time alone away, rebooting in God and hearing his voice, and he just unfolded a lot of things. But I come back, and I'm ministering for the first time to the body of Christ again, and this new fresh Spirit of God was just blowing on me. The Spirit of God was just moving, and I knew that I needed to lay hands on everybody there and pray for them. And it was just like a drink of thirsty water. And I'm laying hands on them, I'm praying for them, and I'm just so encouraged by watching how God is encouraging his people. And it's just the presence of God was just impacting the body of Christ, and he was stirred. And all of a sudden, the voice of the Lord came to me, and he said, "Invest here, mm-hmm. Invest in the kingdom of God." Mm. And I was so relieved because I had a huge question. And a lot of you right now have a question. You're thinking, you know, where do I invest? Mm-hmm. And investing's wise. I mean, it's smart. I mean, investing in, you know, things that work, mm-hmm. and potential things that work. But the truth is right now, let me tell you that your strongest and greatest investment and the only hope for America, if the church arises and begins to invest in the kingdom of God, begin to say, you know what? I'm not talking about giving to folks who are preaching darkness. I'm talking about people that are coming from their podiums and saying things that is like, what are you saying? Yeah, the world's falling apart right now. I need to hear a word from God. I'm talking about where you're being fed and where you're being connected to. You know, be faithful to God, but give liberally and understand whatever happens on the other side of what's about to happen, and it is about to happen. You know, it's about to happen. Mm-hmm. Is that God will take care of you.
That's right.
I mean, even if you're the widow with the orphan boy, God's going to take care of you. Mm-hmm. You know, we have this American concept that this is the only way God can take care of me. But if we'll get out of that grid and realize, you know what, God, I'm putting all my chips on you.
That's right.
I'm putting everything I got on you. I'm putting my business, my reputation, my finances, my wealth, everything, just the way that our founding fathers did on behalf of this nation when they said, listen, I'll put everything on the line. Everything on the line for this idea called America. It's time for us as the church to put everything on line. Everything on line in hopes that Ezekiel 33, that they'll hear the trumpet. They'll hear the trumpet and they'll understand that God is speaking and loves us and has a plan for us, and that he'll restore us and he'll forgive us if we just turn back to him.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Can employees have a Bible study at work during free time? This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulo.
I'm calling on behalf of a friend of mine. He does security. The first job, they put him in the hospital. And some of the families, you know, he would talk to him because he's a minister. And he would just talk to him, you know, but he was not trying to force his opinions on his coworkers or anything, but they had put that out, so they transferred him to another place. So they're trying to find a reason to fire him. So what are his rights? You know, he's afraid to read his Bible, even when he goes for his lunch break outside of the building.
Yeah, let me tell you this. First of all, when it comes to reading the Bible at work or during lunch break, he has the right to do that. And the idea that he could be terminated because he's reading a Bible is just wrong, so they're absolutely incorrect there. With regard to religious expression at the workplace, it's not off limits either. Now, what you can't do is cause disruption to the workplace. That's kind of the key standard. So let me do this. Get your friend to call us, and we'll get you in touch with our lawyers here at the American Center for Law and Justice.
Stay informed on critical issues by visiting us online at aclj.org. That's aclj.org.
We found another way how you can stay connected with VFN Radio. It's the Torch newsletter. Every week, the Torch goes out into your email, whether it's on your phone, tablet, or home PC. The Torch newsletter is going to give you the best of the best of VFN Radio for that week. It's also going to give you all the latest highlights. Of course, you can sign up by going to VFNTV.com and selecting newsletter sign up, or you can text VFNTV at 22828 and type in your email address. Sign up for the Torch newsletter now. If you ever heard someone speak about the Word of God and you just been in awe and wondered, oh my gosh, I wish I could hear God like that. Well, guess what? You can. I want to demystify the voice of God for you. We have a simple plan for you at iabide.org where you can begin to learn what is your rightful inheritance to hear the Father's voice. God wants to speak to you on a daily basis. He says, my sheep know my voice and they follow one another. That's you. You're his sheep. Get your plan at iabide.org. Hearing God's voice is not as hard as others have made it out to be.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Joining me is Pat and John. I'll give a big shout-out to our sponsors who are standing with us, yes. The $50 Eye Guy.
Yes, $50 Eye Guy, Mark Tegenkamp over on Davis Highway
in
right
Pensacola,
across.
Florida, right?
Pensacola, Florida. Right. On Davis Highway, right across from Home Depot, but they have all sorts of glasses, and I'm telling you what, man, they can get you to see. They have thin, anti-glare, reflective, anything that you need. Go see Mark.
I'm excited, too, about our business partners that are coming in from, right now, if you're listening in Texas, we want to be able to tell them
yes.
about your business. So right now, if you just want to go ahead and give us a call or contact us, we have a limited amount of space available. And we're not looking, we're just looking for people to stand up for God, country, and Israel. And in the context of that, you know, people will see that you are, because they're looking that you stand.
Yeah.
For those in Jersey, those that are in South Florida, those that are in the Gulf Coast, all over the country, you know, contact us at VFNTV.com. Go to contact area and say you want to be a sponsor. Or just go to VFNTV.com and follow the promptings to become a sponsor, and we will recognize you. We'll send people to you, because we want them to know that you stand up for God and country in that order, and for Israel. Without those three pillars, we're not going to have the country and the freedom that we so cherish, right?
That's right.
Well, you know, I want to be able to talk about, continue the conversation with what was unfolded in yesterday. If you missed it, this is one long conversation about different parts breaking down. You know, are they using Lucifer tips to organize America and the world? And that's coming from the book that I was only introduced by when I heard an employee of President Barack Obama talking on the Bill Moyer PBS show, Bill Moyer and Company, saying that yes, he was hired by maybe Senator Obama at that time to be able to run his campaign. And that they then his name is Marshall Gantz. And Marshall Gantz was beginning to say, well, talk about this guy named Saul Alinsky. Mm-hmm. And he said, sort of like Saul Alinsky says, you know, you got to be able to polarize to organize. And once the conflict happens, then you depolarize to settle.
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought, wow, that's, wow, let me find that. And And this, I get the book. It's dedicated to Lucifer. It's dedicated to Lucifer. And I'm thinking, and if you listen to conversations, you'll find out when we find this out, because we didn't know this in the beginning. We're trying to go, wow, well, you know, we all work with people. We hire people that we don't necessarily, whatever, you know, it's got to be, you know. And then we think, he taught it. The president taught it for 4 years.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, all right. Hillary Clinton wrote a thesis on it in her college, and they sealed it to this day. Mm-hmm. To my knowledge, nobody knows what the thesis is, but, you know, Pearson's done by the fruit, you can look. And people have a right to do this. We're just kind of getting knowledge about how it works. It's like, oh, all we need to know. We need to know what they've actually taught and what they've walked in, because, and what Marshall Gantz is using, what people have used for years to be able to organize, to be able to push, nudge, a people into a direction. The question we were asking, is it for good? Is it for bad? Well, it was answered when we found out the techniques are dedicated to Lucifer. It was dedicated to Lucifer. It's dedicated to Lucifer in front of the book. That's why you hear the thing, you know, are they using Lucifer tactics to be able to organize America and the world? But then you think, well, okay. But then I turned over the back of the book, and it was dedicated to Barack Obama, which is previously to being president, and to Hillary Clinton.
Mm-hmm.
And we're sandwiched between Lucifer and Lucifer here with that whole concept.
Wow.
And so there's 13 tactics that we're talking about. And we got three more tactics to cover of the 13, but we're just sharing the tactic, which is it appears to be obviously a Lucifer tactic, because it's based on self and causing you making it happen instead of trusting God to work through you to happen. And secondly, it is against the law.
Yeah.
Against the Constitution. You know, against authority. And but then we find out that the reason why they gave a shout out to Lucifer is because that's his, they're using him as an example. And then we realize all the way through it's happening that way. And then we share the light perspective. What is, okay, fine. Maybe we need to join in. Maybe this is a great organization. Maybe we all need to get in there and join in and throw our hat in the ring and say, maybe this is good. But then we got to look at the Word of God. Since, you know, we're Christ followers, that's what Christian means, and we're disciples, which means not only do we know the name of Jesus, we know his teachings and we follow his teachings. And he says, those are really my disciples. Then they'll know the truth and the truth will set them free. If you want to be free, you're going to have to, you know, don't just figure your own way out. Find out what God has to say about your way out. And then we match what God's word says about, which is the light.
Mm-hmm.
About the dark tactic of Lucifer. And so each of these things, we did them in segments, so you could actually, and each of these things, and we'll cover them in their entirety at the very end of this thing, but if you listen one by one, you'll find out, hey, that's what was happening in my marriage that fell apart.
Mm.
That's what was happening in my family when my teenagers were rebelling against me. That's what happened in my community when this such and such was going on. That's what's happened. This has been happening since Lucifer organized a third of the angels against God. And he polarized heaven's angels, which caused a third of them to get on his side, to be able to come against, and he targeted God. He targeted the glory of God. And then he said, he defined it by saying, and I want it. And that was the push.
Mm-hmm.
And then he began to push, but he was pushing against God. So God just puts his finger and thumped, and he's like, boom, he flashed like a flash of lightning down to earth. And I was like, has anybody seen Lucify? I haven't seen Lucify anywhere. Have you seen Lucify? Have you heard any music? Is there any music? I can't hear. What's up with the music?
Mm.
Right? And it was because Lucifer was the musician in heaven.
Archangel there now.
Yeah. So I guess they're just singing without. Maybe that's where that doctrine came from. Get some instruments. You sound terrible. Anyway, so what we found out yesterday is we're finding out that Pharisees saw in the book of Acts that was persecuted in the church, he organized the Jews against Christians.
Mm-hmm.
He was the first organizer, in a way, once Jesus was with the Father, to organize against the church in Jerusalem. And they did it by one of the most prominent Christians at the time, who God was using powerfully, who had such an anointing and a presence of God on his life that you could see the light. Mm-hmm. You could see light, the light of God on him, because he is light. You know, God's light. And he could see the face of God. And so Pharisee Saul, not Saul Alinsky, not Saul Lucifer, not Saul Korah, not Saul Absalom, not Saul's children, but Pharisee Saul, organized the Jews against Stephen, and they stoned him. First, they put their hands over the ear, they screamed and hollered, like, It's like, religion. I'm telling you, run as fast as you can from religion, because religion will, I mean, you'll be convinced that if you eat peanut butter, you're going to bust hell wide open, and the enemy will chase you down with peanut butter, and you'll end up putting your hands over your ear screaming, that's a jar of peanut butter. And if you believe it's sin, bro, I mean, if you conjure that thing up in your mind and you say eating peanut butter is cheating on Jesus, you and Lucifer are going to have a big run around. It is amazing. Because the law is the power of sin, and he says that if you think it's sin, as he's writing to Roman church, it's sin to you. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? If somebody says, well, if your kid looks at you and says that, you know, I know you don't like me drinking iced tea. And, you know, like, I don't care if you drink iced tea.
Right.
But they're convinced that you don't like drinking iced tea. Mm-hmm. So you know, when they're drinking that iced tea, in their heart, they're drinking that iced tea against you. Mm-hmm. It's not the fact that you don't care about the drinking iced tea. Mm-hmm. It's the fact that in your heart, you just divided yourself from me. You are sinning in my presence. And I don't care if you have tea or not. It's right. The fact that I know what's in your heart. And you knew to you, peanut butter was sin. But now you got to eat jelly sandwiches for the rest of your life. Read the word of God. This is happening. You're listening to things being taught over pulpits and podiums that don't agree with the word of God. But you can always, especially what we're saying, get in the word of God and verify what's being said from everybody. You should be in the word, and everything that we should say to each other as Christians who follow the word should be amen when it's in agreement with God. That's what amen means. Amen doesn't mean that finally the pastor is shut up and you can go home and eat pot roast and watch a bell game. Amen means that you walked in there and you heard what was said. You heard what was said. And you agreed with it. You agreed with it because God already spoke it to you already. That's what amen is. We are coming to the end of our first half hour. Catch us on the other side. We're going to continue Jesus the Organizer. We found out that Jesus was the organizer. I want to thank you out to all of our
underwriters. We want to ask you to continue to support them as they are supporting us, helping to bring the light perspective. Visit Glenn Parker in Pensacola. In Car City at Allen Turner Automotives.
And partner today, by the way. You can go to VFNTV.com and partner financially today. That's how we bring this to you.
That's right. Also, go visit The Coffee House in Pensacola, Navy Boulevard. Coffee, treats, and a great meeting place.
Come on, Texas. We want to hear from you.
Come on, Colorado.
Let's do it.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
I want you to hear right now, the VFN Dream Center, you got to hear this. You got to hear what God is doing. Listen up.
I just speak to the nation now. All the way from Oregon to California. From Maine to Miami, dear God, send fire. Fuego. Fire, God. Burn the sin, God, out of our lives. A third great awakening, God. Lord, we don't look to men. We don't look on the horizons. We look up because you're the God that answers by fire. Hey, send revival, God. Forgive us, God. Forgive us for screaming and yelling and complaining about darkness while we ourselves were darkness. And we pray, God, for everybody that we blamed who never even said yes to you. Who never even said they wanted to make you the Lord of their life. And we blame our darkness on them. Lord, forgive us. And we break that curse off of them. And we say, Lord, may they know your love and your forgiveness and your mercy, God. Forgive us for judging the world. Who are we? Who are we? Who are we, oh God? The children of the light.
The children of the day is what he calls us. You're listening to A Brief Moment when the glory of God was so thick at the VFN Dream Center on the Emerald Coast. You can actually join us virtually or join us there. Find out more at vinefellowshipnetwork.org. Listen, our God says, arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is over you. Understand that the glory of God, the presence of God, is what separates us from everything else that's out there. Listen, get connected. Maybe God's saying, now's the time, today's the day. Find out more at vinefellowshipnetwork.org. VineFellowshipNetwork.org.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Joining me is Pat and John. We are continuing the conversation in just a moment about Jesus the organizer. Jesus the organizer. But first I want to say this. I had a chance over a period of time to have a few chats from my kitchen table. I mean, think about it. Every day, that's where you sit. Every day at the kitchen table, he says, in the morning, I want you to be able to just, this is what Jesus said. He would spend time early in the morning with the Lord, with the Father, to be able to get his connection good for that day, what he was going to do, just to get the orders from heaven. And because he said, I did nothing or said nothing unless I heard the Father say and do it. And think about it. So I had a few talks over a period of time from the kitchen table where I'm talking to you. It's kind of a different kind of, it's like me sitting with you across the table. And you can literally pull up your computer, your iPad, your television, or whatever you're doing. And you could just, as you're eating breakfast, you can listen to a conversation about the Word of God. And I had quite a few of these covering so many different things. And you just need to think about it. Every single day, you know, for a while there, you can begin to renew your heart. I mean, I even talked about zero tolerance in dealing with how to deal with a Jezebel, Ahab type principality in the region. I dealt with the Judas kiss and the betrayal. Things that God was sharing with me, I shared it with you from my kitchen table. Make sure that you go to VFNTV.com, VFNTV.com, and when you see the selection for teachings, it says from the kitchen table, right there, from the kitchen table, you can actually click on it and just begin to, just whatever you want to do, begin to listen to each of those so that you can be encouraged, because I had this conversation so that I can have it with you to encourage you to walk in the light as he is in the light. Well, here we are in this next part of, you know, are they using Lucifer tips to organize the world and organize America? And we were just talking about yesterday's program about, you know, Saul. You know, Saul was an organizer. Pharisee Saul was an organizer, and we saw how he organized the Jews against the church, against the body of Christ, but he actually just thought it was Stephen. But immediately, since they took Stephen down, a frenzy broke out, and they started dragging you. I'm talking about the church. Started dragging the church, dragging the Jews. Dragging the church out of their houses. That's what happened. Mm-hmm. If we sit back and allow them to organize, Lucifer to organize around us, JJ is not going to be good for JJ, which is Jesus and the Jews, because you're going to be focused and thinking, well, you know, Stephen loves God, and if he does die, he'll go to heaven, bless the Lord. Mm-hmm. Realize the next one is you. Mm-hmm. The next one, if you claim to be a believer, if you are a Jew or a Christian, realize that is the end result. That is the end result that the enemy wanted to destroy God's folks. And those who follow Jesus, the Messiah, and those who are Abraham's offspring, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, because that's who our God is. God is God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And in regards to this, also understanding, and that's so important because what happened with Abraham, that's when other they stopped saying Abraham, Isaac. Mm-hmm. You know, that's where things kind of, it's important. I used to always think, you know, why do you describe yourself as God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? Because he knew people would start off with what's right and begin in the spirit, and they'll end up in the flesh. Mm-hmm. That they were going to take it from Abraham, and they were going to go, you know, Abraham, who's next?
Isaac,
and who's next?
Jacob.
No, he knew they were going to go a different direction. Who was the other direction they were going to go?
Ishmael.
Yeah, Ishmael. And that's where the whole lineage of what are you walking around a hole for, waiting for a piece to come out of a hole? Yeah. And so when you put the lineage down, you're tracing the lineage of Yeshua Messiah, you're tracing the lineage of Jesus. And so when you say God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, I mean, it just, okay, oh, whatever happened back that turn back there, that wasn't a good turn. That wasn't a God turn. Mm-mm. And so that's why it's so important to know him, is that you serve the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And the lineage of Abraham is Jesus Christ.
That's right.
Isn't that awesome?
Powerful.
Powerful. And so here we are. And so at this point, we're finding out that because we asked the question early on in this talk was, who would Jesus organize? WWJO, right? WWJD. WWJO. And we're finding out while he was walking on the earth in his ministry, he organized no one. As a matter of fact, he allowed the ebbs and flows of all the darkness to buffet him, to push him, to tempt him in every way, to try to organize him out of cities, to try to push him to, and even allowed them to be able to organize against him at Potiphar's front doorstep. As the God's people of that day was being used by darkness to organize against God himself, just like Lucifer. We talked about that. You can find out more about that. And they said, give us Barabbas. Give us Barabbas. Because he was one of them. You know what I'm saying? He was one of them. Because he was involved. He was an organizer himself.
Yeah.
He organized the rebellion against, and that's why he was actually serving time, which I believe are murdered in the context of that. Listen, when Lucifer calls you, when he calls you bad, be encouraged, because that means you're good. But when he calls you good, you better watch out, because that's how they treated the false prophets.
You're going down.
It's like, oh my goodness, they befriended me. It's like, I mean, you don't want to pick enemies, but once you've actually picked Jesus, you've developed an enemy called Satan. You are polarized instantly. Don't be thinking, oh, I'm going to be polarized. You should have been polarized the day that you made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, because we were all in darkness. So anyway, we're finding out. So we found out that when all of a sudden, and you can hear, you just heard it in regards to, if you were listening to yesterday's segment, that all of a sudden, as soon as Saul gave up his organizing techniques under darkness and he met the light, once he found out who Jesus was and God was, he's like, who are you? And he goes, I'm Jesus, whom you're organizing against. And that's what the segment's called. Saul, Saul, why are you organizing, persecuting me, is what the segment is, and you can see it. But in the context of that he said, oh my, as soon as he found out that the God that he was serving was not the right God in his perspective, it was darkness in his way he was pursuing that, he turned to the God through his son Jesus Christ and instantly gave himself over and was willing to be led to a place the voice of God told him to go. And then immediately God spoke to him. God sent him to Straight Street. God spoke to Ananias. He organized Ananias to come down and speak to Saul. He already spoke to Saul already, and he organized Saul to be able to receive Ananias and told them both this thing's going to be happening. He organized for the very fact that this thing was going to kick off to the point that the Gentiles were going to be brought into the kingdom of God, and he was going to do it through Saul, who would later become Paul. I mean, this is exciting. But we're finding out that Jesus is the organizer of the church. He is. He organizes the church. And this is where you found, and we're found factions in the body of Christ, because when people start using Alinsky's model inside the church, when they start using Lucifer's methodologies and politics and voting and building Korah's methodology of getting God's people to go their way and say, this is far enough, you know, apostle. This is far enough, pastor so-and-so. It's like, dude, you're joining in with Korah at this point. You're joining
careful,
in.
Careful,
careful. Careful, careful. Careful, careful. Because you're using Lucifer's tactics to get your way.
Yeah.
But you ought to, you know, on your road to Damascus, I'm at the boardroom, I'm at Damascus, you know, pray that you'll see a bright light, that all of a sudden God will show up to you and show you that whatever God you're listening to, that's not the God whose son is Jesus Christ. He's not going to have you rebel against him. And he's not going to have you push and rebel and organize against that church or organize against that leadership in that church. He'll deal with them, believe me. He'll deal with them if something's wrong. But you bless them and you pray for them. And if you don't feel like you belong there, you know, separate yourself. You may find out you were the problem. As soon as you pull yourself out, they may get along real good. That'd be amazing. And so we're finding out these same Lucifer tips have been used in the body of Christ. I mean, Paul said it. I mean, he said it. He said, listen, I warn you day and night. Day and night with tears. I never stopped warning you as long as I was with you. The organizers would come in amongst you. They not only did they come amongst you, they would rise up from your own number. Didn't he say that?
Yeah.
Oh, he didn't say that. He said something like, I warned you day and night with tears. The whole time I was with you, I never stopped warning you that wolves would come in amongst you and destroy you. They would even come from your own number. Well, listen, if you're using Lucifer's tips to organize, you're a wolf. Mm-hmm. Sorry about that. But we know this too, that you can see the bright light. You can find Jesus like Saul did. And on everything that you are, that when you think what you're doing for God, you're going to realize, I didn't even know God. But then you can know him, and all of a sudden, God's using you under his leadership to organize his church under his tips. Mm. And we'll talk about that in a moment. And so we're just praying for you, because we know that our help is you. You have to know Jesus. Mm. And we just pray right now, ma'am, with all your organizing going on in that body over there or that over here, that board of directors you're trying to arm wrestle down through all your techniques and build factions against that poor pastor and his wife and vice versa in that church, and that denomination you're trying to force your new dark tips in right now, we just say, God, show them the light.
Yeah.
While they're riding, I'm going to just talk for King James for a moment. As they're riding on their ass to Damascus, right? Isn't that what a donkey's mm-hmm. called?
Yeah.
Suddenly, when they're heading on their donkey to the boardroom, to that denominational meeting with the body of Christ is there, about to spew all this venomous threats, as they said in Acts, right? We just pray right now that the light of God, the fire of God, would just appear over you, and you would find out suddenly this God you thought you knew. You're going to have to ask the question, who are you? But he'll answer you. He'll say, I am the one who you've been organizing against. And at that point, he'll give you time to repent. And Saul did. And if you'll do that, I'm telling you. I mean, look, he wrote over half of the New Testament.
Yeah.
Because he just was the wrong bondservant. He was the bondservant to darkness at that point. But as soon as he met the light, he became a bondservant to the light. So don't let that, because the same enemy that's using you to try to destroy the church is going to try to condemn you once you find out how you've been used. You can say this, you know what? I'm going to lay it all at the cross. I'm going to put it all there. Just like Saul did. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to tell everybody the reason why he saved me and the reason why I saw the light, because I was the chiefest of sinners. I was the chiefest of organizers. I organized against the church myself and persecuted her. That's what he said, right? Mm. And had her imprisoned and sat there and let them lay their coats at my feet while they stoned him. Mm. You know what I'm saying? And so understand this. Don't let the enemy take you on both ends of this thing. Take it to the cross, see the light, repent. Humble yourself and realize you shall never organize again outside the leadership of the organizer of the church, which is Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ is the organizer, and that's what we found out. And so I began to look at this as God opened that up to us as we were sharing. And I was looking through the scripture, thinking, man, this is so true, God. This is so true. Because I went to Colossians chapter 1, and I looked at it about the supremacy of the organizer. The supremacy, I mean, you think about it. That you gotta have when in regards to organizing, you gotta have somebody who has, this is the leader of the organization. This is the leader of the organism, the body of Christ. And so God set Jesus up as the head organizer, the supreme organizer of the church. He says what he says in Colossians 1:15-20. He says, the Son, Jesus, is the image of the invisible God. So when you're talking about God the organizer, and you're talking about Jesus the organizer, and you're talking about the Spirit of God organizer, they're one and the same. Behold, God is one. Mm-hmm. Baptize them in the name of the organizer, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I've got to tell you more about this in just a moment. We get back from this break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Here we are. Yes, VFNTV, the daily radio program, a network that God is building through your gifts. Amazing thing, because it can't be built by human hands. Things that God does cannot be built by human hands. So make sure that you join in and just offer up at VFNTV.com and sponsor and become an underwriter today. Listen, we are shining the light, keeping the conversation light on all who want to be in the light, who listen, our audience. That's right. VFNTV and the Daily Radio Program, a network that God is building through your love gift. Sponsor today, partner today, become an underwriter. Go to VFNTV.com and follow the prompts. You know, every one of us go through times in our life where it just seems hopeless. As a matter of fact, I remember watching young people who had on their windshields with vinyl lettering, the words were hopeless. I couldn't believe that. Why would you put that? Don't put that on your, you know, and I can understand. Maybe it's a cry of your heart. You're going, listen, I need hope. Well, I got news for you that right now on your on VFNTV.com or on your VFNTV app, and you can find it by going to your browser and type in VFNTV.com, and it'll lead you through the steps to be able to have it on your iPhone or your mobile device or your iPad or iPod or your all the wonderful stuff that they have out there. And so, but with that, you can get hope, because you got to understand that, you know, when you think about Abraham, against all hope, in hope, he still believed. It's okay. A lot of times we're looking and said, okay, I've looked at the evidence. I looked at my inabilities. I looked at my finances. I looked at my relationship. I looked at what everybody's saying about me. I looked at all these different things. But you can do that. You can look at your reality. It's okay in God to look at your reality. And in the natural sense, it ain't going to happen.
Right.
But you still can have hope against that hope, but it's a different hope. It's called faith. It says, now faith is being sure of what you hope for and certain of what you don't see. And it's hope. It's that kind of hope. You know, inside of me, it hasn't manifested yet, but what I'm believing God for is going to come to pass. You know, and I have a dream. I literally have a dream that God is going to pour out a third great awakening. I know, obviously, you know, that, you know, the church is going to have to be, you know, in agreement with what God is saying. But I'm just believing you. That's why we're on VFN TV and VFN radio, to be able to talk to you and encourage you. Listen, it's God's got good plans in store for you. Good plans in store for you. And I have a dream.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Joining me is Pat and John. We're continuing to talk Jesus the Organizer. We are finding out and discovering here. And what I read was, I'm going to look and say, my goodness, God has set his son, Jesus Christ, up as the organizer, the supreme organizer of his church. Mm. And we've talked about that a little bit. We're reading from Colossians chapter 1, verse 15 through 20, to see that where he says this, he says, the Son, which is Jesus, the Son is the image of the invisible God. So when you've seen the Son, you've seen the Father. So when you've seen the Son organizer, you've seen the Father organizer. And when you've seen the Son organizer and the Father organizer, you've seen the Spirit organizer, because they're all in agreement. They're one. He says, the Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. So he's actually the organizer of creation. Not only is he the organizer and direct every heart of every king's hand like a water course, he's the entire creation, everything you see. He's organized everything. And look at this in verse 16, he says, for in him all things were created. Oh my goodness, all things were created. Things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. Oh my goodness, he has created rulers, powers, authorities, and all this stuff. And somebody says, well, has he created Satan and all of it? Yeah, remember the third of the angels were thrown out of heaven. Don't you remember? They rebelled and he cast them down to heaven. Think about this. It's like, oh my goodness, it's all making sense. And he is the head of the body, which means what? He determines which way the body's going to go. Jezebel does not determine which way, he or she does not determine which way the thing's going to go.
That's right.
Saul Alinsky does not determine which way the church is going to go. The most populist whatever does not determine which way things are going. The government of America does not determine which way things are going to go. And the church, I mean, they do determine which way the country goes, and that's totally what they're supposed to do. But in regards to the church, it's Jesus. He says, and he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from amongst the dead. Think about that. And so everything, in everything, he says, that he might be the supreme organizer. Mm. I mean, everything, and not just whatever these piddly things people are talking about, because kingdoms comes. I mean, he organizes your DNA. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah.
He organizes your breath. He organizes, I mean, the very seasons and times that you would live. I mean, God, when God saw you, he said, now. I mean, think about Acts chapter 17. He says, like, now I want them to live. Here is where I want them to live. This is what I want them to be. Why? He says, to see if they would realize that I am the supreme organizer. Mm. That they would not turn to Korah and Lucifer and all these dark tactics, but they would turn to the light. He said, though, to see if you would reach out to me, though I'm not far from you. See, in all this Lucifer tips and tactics, it ain't nothing new. The question is, are you ready to leave darkness and enter into the light, to the supreme light, the supreme organizer? There is an organizer. It's not supposed to be chaotic, but outside of God, it will always be exactly what those 13 tips from Saul Alinsky, dedicated to Lucifer and dedicated to Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton on the back of the book, talks about in Rules for Radicals. And so we find out he is the supreme organizer. And he says, for God was pleased to have all of his fullness, the fullness of who he was as God, to dwell in the supreme organizer, Jesus Christ, and through him to reconcile to himself. In other words, he organized us through his son so that we can be in relationship, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his shed blood, the shed blood of Jesus Christ, our supreme organizer on the cross. He organized a way that you can have a relationship with him through the supreme organizer who he sent to earth, who only listened to the supreme organizer, his father. Mm. And so listen, don't be throwing this whole thing out. We're finding out, you know, who would Jesus organize? And we're finding out why he was on earth. He walked as we walked. Mm-hmm. But now that he sits at the right hand of the Father and he's King of Kings and Lord of Lords, he organizes us, the church. He is supreme organizer over us. And so then I thought, whoa, that's pretty cool. So then I went over and thought, man, so that means he's actually organizing everything, I mean, everything, not just you, the very dirt you're walking on. Mm. I mean, you know what I'm saying? He's redeeming everything under his son. And then I thought, man, what is that letter that Paul wrote, who used to be Saul? He used to be an organizer against the church, but now was submitted to the supreme organizer. He wrote a letter to the church as he's beginning to organize the church in Ephesus. And he said, in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 8, he says, with all wisdom and understanding, God made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in the supreme organizer, which he purposed in Christ to put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment. Man, it sure feels like it's getting close. I can't tell you when it is, but I feel the word close all up my back. He says, and to put into effect when the times have reached their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ Jesus. I mean, God is organizing everything that ever was created up under the supreme organizer, which he chose, that he knows that they're all one and the same. He's organizing those who say yes to him under his leadership, under his tactics, under his light ideas, and we're going to talk about those in a moment. It's like, oh my goodness, we're being organized. What does that mean? That means if you fall into Lucifer tactics, that means if you have been one of Saul Alinsky's children, you've been sitting on that chair, pew, bench, beach, ever how you gather, coffee shop, and you've been organizing against that man or woman of God. You've been trying to take them down. You've been trying to convince people that they need to bring a faction against this person that you don't even know this is your brother. Mm. That you don't, or maybe not, but if you're a believer, they are, that you don't even understand that you are persecuting and organizing against Jesus, and it's not going to end well with you, despite the doctrine that you were taught from something that was not true. Mm. I mean, if you slap Jesus in the face and you say, save me if you can, mm-hmm. I mean, it's not going to go too well. Well, if you go slap that brother or that sister in the face and you don't humble yourself and repent in the context of that, you just slap Jesus.
Whatever you've done, the least of these, you've done unto me, right?
That's right. I mean, forget about the water thing. You just organized against Jesus. Mm. I mean, you're right. It's like, how can I get a water? It's like, no, you need to go back and you need to repent for organizing against and trying to take that thing down with dark tips from Lucifer. Korah. Right?
Yeah.
just saying.
Just saying. Yeah.
I mean, this is unfolding. I'm learning out loud, but let me know if it's not biblically correct. I want to know this. I want to know if it's not biblically correct, but I am reading from the biblical, the Bible. And so we're finding out, okay, so God is organizing everything up under Jesus, and he's pointed Jesus as the supreme organizer of the church. I mean, you think that's just amazing. As a matter of fact, when in a moment, I'm going to come back in just a moment. We may have time. I'll go ahead and see. No, we don't have time. But I'm going to talk to you in just a moment in the extra hour. Join us on the other side. As not only is did God appoint Jesus as the supreme organizer of the church, and not only did Jesus earn the right to be the supreme organizer of the church because he's the first. He's the first to die, the first to be raised from the dead, and he is the head of the body. He is the organizer himself under the leadership of the one who's organizing everything up under him. I mean, it's like, ooh, it's awesome. That now I'm going to tell you that he has an organism, which somebody else referred to as an organization, but these are leaders that he puts in his organism as he leads his people and he organizes them the way he wants to. And then I'm going to talk to you a little bit more, not only about the things and the gifts that he gave to be able to keep his organized effort and body moving in the light direction, not the right direction, about he also has particular tactics called gifts and things that he begins and he puts out and he administrates these gifts. He organizes these gifts and this, he's like, now this gift, pull that gift. This is what, I mean, he does all this. He's the one doing it. Just like we saw it with Saul, Ananias, and God when Jesus was organizing Saul to a place of Paul and Ananias to reality is that you got to start praying for those who organize against the church because they're going to be your help.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to be, I want some folks that know how to do it.
That's right.
So they can submit it to God and say, here we are, God, use us. I'm a bondservant of light, not a bondservant of darkness. This is so exciting. Join us on the other side. I got so many things to talk to you about. Jesus, the organizer. Jesus, the organizer. Well, we're coming to the end of the first hour. We had such a wonderful time. Don't forget to catch us in the extra hour beginning in just a moment. For those that are leaving us, you can catch us at bfntv.com or catch the second half, the extra hour, on your mobile device, your iPhone, your Android, and all those wonderful places at bfntv.com. You're listening to BFN Radio. For those that are sticking with us, we'll see you on the other side.
Wow, at BFN Radio, we are looking for greater ways for you to be able to connect anywhere you go. We know that you can listen to BFN Radio on the go through the app, but now we also have the podcast. It's a great way for you to be able to automatically get all the segments totally downloaded to your digital device no matter where you're at. You can go to bfntv.com and click podcast, and you'll configure it and set it up so that no matter where you're at, you automatically have all of the highlights automatically downloaded on your digital device. VFNTV.com, click podcast. We have a great way for your VFN Radio listeners to connect with us beyond the program. So many of our VFN Radio listeners want more. Well, we have more for you. You can go to VFNTV.com and select VFN Torch. When you see the VFN Torch, you'll be able to get our highlights where we take the program beyond just what you hear on the radio. You'll see videos, you'll have pictures, and so much more. Not only will you be able to listen to these and watch more content, but you have the ability to email them to your friends, to your family, and spread the word. Let me tell you something. Take VFN Radio to the next level. Get more by going to VFNTV.com and select the VFN Torch now.